greetings once again, and welcome to another Wednesday night Bible study. This message is pre-recorded, so I will not be on the chat afterwards, but I believe Pastor Murray will be on the chat afterwards. And also, we'll cover some, God willing, Psalm 56 and 57 this evening. I hope to cover them last week, but we just spent a bit more time on Psalm 55 than I thought we would. So we'll cover Psalm 56 and 57. And then for the next 2 weeks, we'll have a break, different travel, and, I'm traveling, some of the other brethren are traveling. So we'll have a break for 2 weeks, and then we'll resume in January, and I should just confirm that date. Let me just quickly look at my calendar so that we know exactly when we're resuming. So we're going to be off the 25th, off the 1st, and resuming on January 8th. So we'll be back continuing in the Psalms on January 8th. Let's open with a word of prayer, and then we can get into tonight's study. Our Heavenly Father, we pause again to acknowledge you, to thank you, Father, to praise you. Again, we just thank you, Father, that you inspired these men, and we're going to be looking at King David's Psalms this evening. We thank you for inspiring him in his time of anguish and uncertainty, that he could put to music and put to poetry his deepest feelings and his make transparent his relationship with you. We thank you for this, Father, because it teaches us about you, about David, about how we can relate to you in our times of despair, about how we can pray for our brethren in their times of despair. And again, it just teaches us your love and your deep covenant with Israel. We praise you, God. We thank you. We ask that you would bless our study now. And we ask this in Jesus' most holy name. Amen. So let's get right into tonight's study. We're into Psalm number 56. And here in Psalm 56, it opens with, to the chief musician, upon Jonathelem Rakokim. I think that's how I would pronounce it. Jonathelem Rakokim. And this is some sort of musical instrument or musical style. We assume there probably some sort of stringed instruments. And then Miktam of David, so it's a song of David. And it's when the Philistines took him in Gath. And that, again, is where we were last week, and we looked at that. But we'll just go back to 1 Samuel 21 and verse 7. When David was in trouble, went to the priest, wanted the bread with his companions that were with him. And says, now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, an Edomite, the chiefest of the herdmen that belonged to Saul. So obviously a man in great authority, not an Israelite, and that plays out later. But here we see, dropping down to verse 10, and David arose, so he was realized this would be trouble, that this was an informer. He was going to go back to Saul. Saul obviously wants David put to death. And so David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul. And what a terrible thing that you would be afraid of your own people, of your own leaders. We think that our leaders are for us. More often than not, they're for themselves. And that's what we see today as we look in the different political situations. Fortunately, in the UK, I'm not sure how great the new Prime Minister will be, but at least they have gotten rid of Jeremy Corbyn, who they say is the leader of the Labour Party. I say the leader of the Communist Party, and no doubt communism is spreading all around the world, and it's spreading into America, the bastion of free nations. And so we see this drama in the news this week and last week with the impeachment of a duly elected president by communists. And that's what we need to see things for what they are. And these people mean us no good. And sometimes our own people can be set out to destroy us. And that's what makes it so difficult, that you're seeing them as brethren, you're seeing them as fellow Canadians, British, fellow Americans, or whatever your country is, your nation, but that doesn't mean that they're for you. The globalists are not for the nations. They want to destroy the nations, and they have another agenda, which ultimately results in the enslavement of mankind. So it says here that he fled for fear of Saul, and he went to Achish, the king of Gath. So this just shows you how desperate he was. that the king of Gath, the Philistines, were enemies of Israel. David even slaughtered Goliath. And yet he's in such desperation to escape the unhinged wrath of Saul that he flees to Achish. And the servants of Achish said unto him, "Isn't this David? Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands?" And yes, indeed they did, and that caused Saul to be very envious. Envy is a very terrible, terrible emotion that human beings have, and it's the work of the devil. And Satan got into Saul with this envy. Instead of Saul rejoicing that Israel's agenda is being advanced, no, he was jealous. And David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So he's afraid of Saul. Out of desperation, he flees into Philistia. And then he hears them talking about him, that he's been recognized. So now he's fearful. He's got fear on both sides. Now he's fearful of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands, and scrabbled on the doors of the gate, and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. So he's feigning that he's insane. Then said Achish unto his servants, "Lo, you see the man is mad. Why then have you brought him to me? Have I need of madmen, that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?" David therefore departed thence, and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. So that's, again, just taking us back, giving us a bit of context for the psalm, taking us back to the trouble that David was in. He was fleeing from Saul. He was so afraid of what Saul would do to him that he fled to Philistia. And then the people there recognized him as the mighty warrior of Israel. And so then he was afraid of King Achish, so he had to feign madness, and that's how he escaped. So this is the context of the psalm. Verse 1. Be merciful unto me. So this again, Psalm 56, 55, 56, 57, they're all personal lamentations. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresses me. So David sees very clearly what men would do to him. And he's appealing to God to be merciful to him and to avoid the fate that men want for him. My enemies would daily swallow me up. And I think, again, just following the U.S. Political situation and clearly King David was a righteous king, I would not categorize President Trump as a righteous president. But I would say he's a great president. And take his personality out of the equation. Just look at his report card. Look at his accomplishments. I would go so far as to say he's the greatest president America has ever had in terms of just on his accomplishments alone. And he's certainly pro-American. And there are those that are opposing him who are draping themselves in the American flag, but they hate America. That America was never great. They took exception to his slogan, Make America Great Again, by saying America was never great. And now, in opposing him and going towards impeachment, they're draping themselves now in the Constitution, in the forefathers, in the American flag, and it's all a charade. These are communists who want to destroy the nation. And we have them in every Western nation. And daily he's having to deal with I don't know how he does it, but daily he's having to deal with betrayals and oppression, and they want to put him in prison for 20 years, and all he's trying to do is serve his people and improve his nation's welfare. Yeah, so this king, David, now is, I think we can just kind of look at the situation, just get a sense of how people operate when they're full of envy, full of a hatred, and they have an agenda to take down a leader. That's how we can understand this power makes people insane. And the threat or the fear of losing power really makes them insane. And so we just get a sense here of what David was up against by just looking at what's going on in the American political theater. My enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me. And I think, again, President Trump is overwhelmed. There's just enemies on every side, inside, outside, all around. For they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. And he says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in you. And this is the difference here, I think, between a righteous king and just a political leader. So when David is afraid, he trusts in God. Most leaders, when they're afraid, they trust in their military. They spend more on the military. They trust in their ego. They trust in their stable genius, their strategies. And this, all of these things will fail. What will never fail is the Most High and his covenant with Israel. And so David now, as the future king of Israel, realizes, although he's overwhelmed with fear, he will trust in God. In God I will pray. In God I will praise his word. In God have I put my trust. So he's familiar with the scriptures. He understands God's will. And he's just going to stick by God's word. And then he says in verse 3, when he's afraid, he'll trust in God. Now when he's praising the word, putting his trust in God, he says, I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. So yes, this is a very serious, life-threatening situation he finds himself in, but he says, I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. It's like he's in one state of mind, and then he opens the scriptures, and he starts studying the scriptures, and he's restored. And he says, no, I'm not going to be afraid of what flesh can do to me. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. So every day they're twisting my words. And again, if we look at the American situation, where the president has a normal call with the leader of another country, and they twist it to say it's a quid pro quo, and they just twist it out of context to make it sound like it's the worst thing that anybody could ever do. And this is just natural. This is what America does. She provides aid to these countries, and in exchange they do things that support the American agenda. This is politics. But they when you listen to these accusations, it's really projection. That what they're accusing others of are the very things that they're doing. And that actually reminds me of a proverb here, where he says in Proverbs 18:17, he that is first in his own cause seems just, but his neighbor comes and searches him. And again, we've had the Inspector General's report, Horowitz, and is just showing the corruption of the FBI and the Democrats. And that's just the beginning. That's just the tip of the iceberg. And so these communists, they've been working an agenda for decades. And now they've gotten desperate because the agenda has been derailed. And so we're seeing things that we would not normally be exposed. They're being exposed now. It says, every day they twist my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. And it all has to do with power. David is anointed. He's to be the king. Saul does not want this. And he's doing everything he can to destroy David. He says, they gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. And again, President Trump is no saint, but he is the leader of the free world. He's the leader of the most powerful nation in the world. And he managed to get in. He was not supposed to be in power. And he managed to get in, and they don't have the dirt on him that they have on everybody else. He's not part of the machine. They can't control him. He's not a puppet on a string. And so this is driving them crazy. And the same when Christ came. And he challenged the power structure. They had to put it to death. And so we can really get a good understanding of how the carnal human being lusts for power and how the carnal human being operates and reacts when power is slipping away from them. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In your anger, cast down the people, O God. So David is looking at them, looking at their agendas, looking at their strategies, looking at everything that they're doing, and just how it's all rooted in evil. And he appeals to God to say, will they get away with this? in your anger, Lord, cast them down. So he appeals to God to act. You tell my wanderings, put you my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? So here he's just pleading with God, and just God knows his situation, and he's sharing all of his tears, and he's even saying this is in a sense prophesied. When I cry unto you, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. And this is just wonderful that he knows that God is for him. That although all these multitude of men are plotting to his downfall, for some reason he knows this will not be the end of the story. That God is for him, and God's agenda will prevail. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. And again, this would be music. So we've heard these lyrics before. It's almost like a refrain. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. So he repeats that again. He's like, he's reassuring himself. These men are vicious. This is terrible. These men are not playing. They mean to take him down and take him out. And yet he's going to trust in God. And as he reassures himself, again, so we see this sort of pattern where in God I will pray, will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. And it's as he reassures himself in the word of God, he then puts his trust in God, and then he's not afraid anymore. He will not be afraid what man can do unto him. And this is what we can learn in this intimate relationship and this transparency that David has, is how we can be with God. That we're human. These people are vicious. They're horrible. There's this sort of cancel culture. They'll take down anybody who gets in their way of destroying the Christian family, rooting out the Judeo-Christian fabric from society, implementing their immorality, which they will pose as morality. They're ruthless. And when you see their strength and their power, and this sort of mob, how they move as a mob, it can be frightening. And we have to turn to the Word and praise the Lord in his Word. And then put our trust in him. And then we can just, at this point now, we can say, you know what? I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. And this is quoted in the New Testament in Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Again, this thing called envy and covetousness, we're warned against it in the commandments. It's a horrible doorway that swings open that allows Satan in to take over. And that's certainly what happened to Saul. Let your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. So we're blessed with so much. Be grateful for it. Count your blessings. The cup is half full. Give thanks for what we have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So that's, we see it in Psalm 56 from David. We can learn from David, and so much so, it's so clear that in Hebrews, the apostle is instructing us, we should be able to say this boldly. The Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And so if we're not covetousness, if we're grateful to God, if we're not filled with covetousness, we're grateful to God, and we're studying his word, we can take this position. The Lord is my helper, I will not fear what men shall do unto me. Back to Psalm 56. Your vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto you. So he now returns to the vows that he's made to God. We certainly need to return to our baptism vow, our baptismal vow, through which we have been grafted into the covenant, and we're going to fulfill our vows. Your vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto you. For you have delivered my soul from death. So he knows God has delivered him multiple times. This is a fact, you have delivered my soul from death. Will not you deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living. So this, he's been delivered in the past, he's in trouble now, and he knows, he's confident God will deliver him. And that's how Psalm 56 ends. Psalm 57. To the chief musician, Altaskith, Miktam of David, or another poem or psalm of David, when he fled from Saul in the cave. So again, this is all around the same time period, Psalm 55, 56, 57. It was such a time of great distress, and a lot of beautiful music and poetry came out of this period in David's life. Verse 1 begins the same way. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusts in you. You can hear the anguish, you can hear the singular focus. There's no one else that David can turn to. This is his lifeline. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusts in you. Yes, in the shadow of your wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. And you know, I think when God hears a prayer like this, this is exactly what he wants. Because he is the one that covers over, that brings his wings and brings his hen and his chicks under him to protect them. And so David coming to him, pleading for his mercy, acknowledging and declaring his trust. And I think God will just respond very favorably to this type of prayer, to just trust in him until these calamities be overpast. And again, wherever we are, we might be living in wonderful circumstances. This can change overnight. Especially when you see the lust for power, this great contest for power, this global contest for power in all the different nations. When these communists or Islamists get into power, things can change overnight. And so we need to be able to call on these types of prayers that I said, in the shadow of your wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performs all things for me. Wonderful. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. So he just knows help is coming. God is in heaven. He will send from heaven his angels, his spirit, and he will save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah. David is confident. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions. And again, when it comes to power, men are ruthless. They don't share it. They hang on to it. They don't acquiesce. So his soul is among lions. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. And I think this, I would take this as their rhetoric, but the words that come out of their mouth, how they're able to craft the narrative so that which is evil becomes good, and that which is good becomes evil, and everybody's against what they think is evil, but it's really good. And they're able to stir up the masses into a violent frenzy. This is how their teeth are spears and arrows. And their tongue is a sharp sword. That they can turn people because they can spin a narrative. And we now are in this period of narrative warfare. And so the notion of fake news, when we use that term fake news, what we're really talking about is this. Narrative warfare. That people perceive their environment, they interpret reality through narrative. So I need a context to understand what's in front of me, and that's the narrative. And so those who have control over the media and who are able to spin these stories, and this is how you should interpret things, this is what's happening, and so we interpret that way, and we get stirred up with the masses, sometimes to the point of violent opposition. And this is how these men, their teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be you exalted, O God, above the heavens. So as opposed to these men who are obviously in an exalted position, David says, no, you be exalted, O God, above the heavens. So those truly the exaltation of God. Let your glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. And again, I can't help but read this in the time period that we're in now. and just see the application of this to President Trump, although I wouldn't put him as in the category of a righteous leader, but certainly I would put him in the category of a patriotic American leader that has been betrayed, that is being opposed by communists. And they have prepared a net for his steps. Like every, and he does good and they want to turn it into evil. They have prepared a net for my steps. And it's important for us to watch this so that we can see how the machinery works. We can see how Satan works in them. It's important for us to understand, to get insight. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. So he's depressed from this. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. So this thing backfires on them. And you can see how this whole impeachment strategy has backfired on the Democratic Party, or what I call the Communist Party, the Globalist Party. It's backfired. And now it's turning against them. But this is what happens. They prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Selah. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. And that's just wonderful. I think this verse really speaks to the Christian conviction. Our heart is fixed. It's on God. It doesn't matter what men do. It doesn't matter how things unfold. We certainly pray for the protection of our people, but if it doesn't turn out that way, you know, it's like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego when they confronted the king. They weren't careful to answer because their heart was fixed. David's heart was fixed. Our hearts must be fixed. I will sing and give praise. So he's just giving the whole thing over to God, and he's just going to praise God because he knows ultimately God's will be done. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. So to awake early is to be enthusiastic, to get up, to be enthusiastic about praising God. And he's a musician. He wants to now just turn his attention to praising God. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. And now he has this forward-looking vision. Remember, David was a prophet, not just a king. So he has this forward-looking vision. He knows the scriptures. He knows the will of God. And he sees that he will have the upper hand. And he will praise God among the people. And he will sing to God among the nations. We can just get some insight as to what does this mean, that David will sing to God among the nations. We see this in Isaiah 60, and this should be a very familiar scripture. We've studied 2nd Isaiah, and we've referred to it several times. But here, Isaiah says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you." This is speaking of Israel. And David, obviously, as the king of Israel, represents Israel. And so darkness is going to come. It's going to be all over the earth. But God's light, God's glory, is going to be upon Israel. And all the nations will have this veil of deception lifted from them. And they will acknowledge Jehovah. And they will acknowledge his people. And the glory of God will be upon Israel. And the Gentiles shall come to your light, to Israel's light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. So this is the prophecy that we see, and it's all over the scriptures. But this is what David is seeing, that, you know, he says, "Awake up, my glory, awake up, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise you, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto you among the nations." And so we see this prophecy when Israel will be in the exalted position among the nations and will lead the nations in the worship of Jehovah. Back to Psalm 57. "For your mercy is great unto the heavens, and your truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth." And certainly men want to glorify themselves, men want to exalt themselves, men want to hold on to power. But this king of Israel could see that the rightful ruler of earth is Jehovah.
and the more Yehovah is exalted, then the greater peace and prosperity and abundance for mankind. First Israel, then the Gentiles. So that's Psalm 56 and 57, personal, 55, 56, and 57, very personal lamentations of King David when he was in this terrible situation with Saul seeking his life. And we saw the damage that Saul was capable of and how he slaughtered the priest. And David running for his life and desperate. But in all of that desperation, comforting himself in the Word of God, having confidence in the Word of God and in God's loyalty to his covenant, and just ending with the high exaltation of Yahweh. So let's end there. And again, as I said, we'll be off for 2 weeks. We'll resume, God willing, with Psalm 58 when we return on January 8th. God bless.